I have to talk about that industry as like a wider whole, because there's regulations and there's things that allowed us to actually be advertising online. Because before, you have to go gray, you have to go black guy. Like, you can't just compliantly run this beforehand. Like, on, I'm talking from Meta to TikTok to Google, there's a very unique place.
Hi there. Welcome back to CC Talks. This is your host, Ilaria Severi, the head of Marcom and creative studio at Creative Clicks. In our podcast series, we delve into a diverse array of topics, encompassing social media, performance marketing, online advertising, and latest marketing insights. Today, we will not only explore the multifaceted world of Creative Clicks, but we introduce an exciting new dimension to our discussion by welcoming an external expert to the show. As 2024 continues to unfold, bringing with it a dynamic mix of challenges and opportunities, we're eager to explore the evolving landscape of our industry. That's why today we're shifting our focus slightly to bring you expert insights from the wider industry. And I'm thrilled to welcome Nick Shackelford, a renowned expert in performance marketing, particularly in complex and highly regulated markets, but also he was a previous guest of our show. And I'm super happy to have him here once again. So welcome to CC Talks. Well, welcome back, Nick. It's great to have you with us again. How are you today?
I am fantastic. It was like, yeah, I've been here before, and I think I got to make new stuff up so I can keep earning the chance to come back and talk to you.
Exactly. And every time, like I was telling you before we started the recording, every time I see you at conferences, mostly at Affiliate World, AW, every time you have such interesting talks that I'm like, okay, I have to have him for our podcast and talk about that. So here we are, super happy. So indeed, this topic of today was inspired by that talk that you gave at the latest AW in Bangkok last December. But before actually we delve into the topic per se, could you share with us a bit about your journey for the people who don't know you, and also what inspired you to specialize in performance marketing, especially within complex and highly regulated markets? Tell us a bit about your story.
Yeah, so I definitely did not end up in highly regulated and complex markets by design. Like, this is kind of the latest of the evolution of who I am. But I've been performance marketing just over 10 years. And so I'm pushing 33 years old. And I've kind of been in the very, very early stage. I would say a couple of my major wins, starting from the beginning of like actual running paid ads, was back in the fidget spinner days. And then you go into like magnetic eyelashes and then makeup brush cleaners and kind of like all these like widgets and gadgets, things that in my opinion weren't really quality items to be sold online. And I think a lot of us in the performance space probably feel that way too. You're like, yeah, I'm making a lot of money, I'm doing really well, but I don't really give a shit about the things that I'm selling, to be completely honest. People feel this way. And especially like an affiliate world where you're like, look, I know I'm really good at performance, I know I can make a bunch of money doing this, but I don't love it. It's just not like, so I don't have like a relationship or any sort of feeling towards the product. And over the years, because we went agency first and we went kind of like a performance model, you get to see a lot of brands, you get to see a lot of products, and you get to see a lot of industries where you're like, this is very interesting. And that's kind of what happened in this product. So this product we're talking about is called Breeze, B-R-E-Z. So people call it Brez because there's a tilde over the E. People call it Breeze. I don't correct them. I let them go. Say what you want. It's kind of like tomato, tomato, kind of a little bit of controversy. But this kind of was introduced to me from a partner. His name is Aaron Nospish, who like came up with the idea, felt so strong about the product. And I have to talk about that industry as like a wider whole, because there's regulations and there's things that allowed us to actually be advertising online. Because before, you have to go gray, you have to go black guy. Like, you can't just compliantly run this beforehand. Like, I'm talking from Meta to TikTok to Google, there's a very unique place. And so what we're selling is hemp derived THC cannabis and CBD drinks. And it's about like a 7.5 ounce or 12 ounce can. And we are selling this direct to consumer. Like, you literally, sorry, I know you're in Amsterdam and I know these people are, the audience might be, you can find a way to get it to you. But right now we're just selling in the United States. We'll be abroad soon.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. It's a bit more complex here in Europe, the whole regulation thing, right?
Well, and the only reason why America is able to being a little bit ahead of things is because we passed this bill called the Farm Bill. And this Farm Bill allowed us to have a specific amount of THC to be advertised on the .com. And that's where we kind of live. We live in this specific area, which allows us to advertise hemp-derived THC, or us to talk about the benefits of the lion's mane or the mushrooms inside of it. And so when this kind of came out and it was ideated, Aaron was like, I think I know how to advertise this, which for a lot of us in these fringe markets or selling some of these products that are highly regulated, the funnel is actually pretty normal. It's add to squeeze page to either a collection or product page. And then from there, we can kind of go on and purchase. So you kind of have to bury that purchase click 2 to 3 clicks deep. And so that funnel and that structure is very unique because you can't be outright, hey, this is what we're selling, because you have to kind of be a little bit playful with it. And I know there's plenty of people on this podcast that understand that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And diving a bit more into that, so given your extensive experience in navigating these complex and regulated markets, can you tell us a bit more about strategies and strategies for marketers to penetrate these, what we can call, let's say, pass me the word, tough sectors? What unique approaches have you found most effective?
Yeah, so we live and die by three specific things. First one is we don't run from our home like brand page. We have the brand page. It needs to be there just for like compliance issues on the business manager. But we run a lot from drink a breeze, have a breeze. So we have a multiple amount of pages. And I think that's whether you're using creators or whether you're using just themed pages that you own, it's a strategy that you have to deploy. That's the first and foremost one. Second is calling it outright in images is more of a, it's more direct. You're going to earn the click a lot quicker, but it's the bigger chance for you to be flagged. So a lot of these videos have to be kind of buried within a traditional UGC e-commerce experience where it's a consumer talking about the product and maybe only show it once or twice. And so it's really me to phone or a creator to phone talking about the product. And they're not necessarily speaking to it or showing it, but they're talking about what it's going to make you feel like. And you got to go kind of, lack of a better phrase, like meta about it. You have to go very ambiguous towards the overall product. Final thing is you can't run direct to page. Like it needs to be 2 clicks minimum. And that could be 5 reasons why. That could be a just a traditional landing page that's just selling them on the benefits and the features. But you definitely can't drop to the .com. And that any combination of those three is still going to be like, as we know, we're living on the edge. And so we can't get too cute. We can't do too many things where even if they start smelling around, they start checking through it and we go through our rep, like we still have to kind of be extremely buttoned up. And Google's even more difficult. Like I won't transition too fast in case there's questions, but Google, we can only say hemp. Whereas on Meta's, we can say hemp-derived THC, or we can just say THC.
Wow. And let's say before you talked about also a bit of, you mentioned creative strategies, but so would you say that working with this type of products enhances the creativity, or would you say it rather stops it?
I mean, if you drink it, your creativity goes to the roof. No, I'm kidding.
that's advertising here.
Yeah, if you're drinking it, you're going. So it's difficult because you can't just straight show the product, because on the can, the can is iridescent and it looks sort of like what a bubble would be like if it wrapped around a can. And so the can in itself is extremely like, what is that? No cans exist this way. And so a lot of the creative is around 3D rendering. Very, it looks AI, but it isn't AI, because this world that we live in is very much around AI. And so if you look at strategically thinking about creative strategy around the specific product, it right now in our world, and you know this as well, living in Amsterdam, living in Europe especially, alcohol consumption is everywhere. Like people, it's meeting up to have beers, meeting up to have drinks left and right. And so when you sit there and you think about there is a large subset of millennials and Gen Zs and even like old, like 40, 50 area where they do want an alternative because they don't want to ruin their next morning. So we, at this time, we're in the sweet spot of what we call the sober curious. This is like a buzzword that they're talking and throwing around over here in the States, where it's people who want to feel some type of way, but they don't want to have that feeling of what alcohol does to them, or they want the weird morning after. And the same exact statement is, if someone's going to drink a product that adds extra calories to them, they don't want it to be a mocktail where you're drinking sugar and you get no effect. So it's like, we live in the middle. We're going to give you a buzz, and the calories it's going to be justified by the buzz that you get. So we have all these different areas for us to play within that we can speak to, A, the way the can looks, B, the feeling you should have, and C, the replacement of alcohol. And these are three really, really strong visual and emotional hooks. So that alone gives us a lot of things to talk about. And so we don't necessarily have to live in the, this is THC, this is a regulated product or an item. We can really live in this, but you actually feel some type of way. So that once we get them in, which is why for us, the biggest goal is subscription. That's what we're pushing everybody to. And so that's what we're leaning heavily into this year.
Okay. It's about retention at that point, right?
especially because you and I, if you think about, you're drinking a coffee a day, you're drinking...
I'm Italian. I drink a lot of coffee. I have my subscriptions for coffee. So yeah.
Yeah. You get it. You get it. We all have this one thing where we're drinking. And if you're drinking alcohol on that basis, probably having one or two a week, or you're having something on the weekend, this is a similar product, right? It's there for you to consume it at your leisure. And so it's something that it's very interesting to find out.
So very interesting about that. And I remember now that you mentioned about also what you explain in order to, for people, especially for the new buyers to understand what the product is about, that I saw those sort of like UGC, let's say, created content, but it was, I believe, your partner that was explaining about the product. So I want to understand a bit better with you the strength, the potential of the UGC content for this type of product. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
This actually was the reason why we were starting to scale TikTok. It was Aaron did this by himself. Like literally, he picked up the can and he started talking about the feeling and the effect and the quality of the product. And he goes, "You're not, because everybody has this association to what edibles does to you, the body. And we have to do two things very quickly. We have to let them know that the type of product that we have doesn't react the same way that an edible does to your stomach. And so a lot of us don't understand what taking edible or drinking or eating THC. We all know this some sort of like feeling from our childhood. It was like, oh man, that was terrible. I don't want that feeling. And so this overcoming of what it actually does to you is very important. So when you have Aaron, someone who understands the science, someone who understands the feeling, someone who is deep in that space as the founder, can speak to, okay, you guys know what a THC edible is going to feel like. It's going to make you feel like you don't want to get out of your couch. This hits you in a different way because it's emulsified in the mouth and the tongue rather than mixing with stomach acids. But you have to have someone that knows the product so well that if they come across as, dude, you're full of shit and you're a paid actor, nobody's going to know that depth of quality because he is the founder. He knows the product and he's speaking so real to it. And I think this is a huge opportunity for founders that have created something to change. I don't want to say the world because that's kind of like a big deal, but change some people's worlds around the way that they act, consume, or participate in community. And when Aaron speaks to it, it's hard to beat again. It's hard to beat that.
But then they have to be willing to put their face on it, right? Because not everybody's is up for that.
It's so true. And this is a question I've gone back and forth on because even me as a partner, Aaron being the founder, I always ask him, was like, how involved, because I have a reputation, I have an aesthetic, I look a certain type of way, he looks a certain type of way. How many different types of voices do you want speaking about it? And it's really important, especially in creative strategy. The creator or the face tied to the brand is associated to very similar people that are going to be acting that way or looking that way, which is why we always talk about we need racial diversity, we need gender diversity, we need size diversity, we need all these things. And so I'm very aware of that because we have three white males speaking proactively about this product consistently. And it can't always be that way.
No. If you want to widen your audience and you want to target more people, of course not. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so we live in this, like, we know the product best and we can speak to it in a way where most people can't. And then we also go, but we also want the moms and the, like, the marijuana culture to address us or adapt to us and come to us. And so it's been very interesting to, like, we're still a year, under a year. We're doing $1 million a month and we're in a good pace to continue to grow. But there's so much more opportunity and we're just like, we're trying to do it correct, you know? It's very interesting.
And indeed, now that you mentioned the word, the adjective correctly. So for those performance marketers who are starting or stepping into a niche like this one, what fundamental advice would you give them since you've been in this for a while and now with your own product in order also to start effectively and avoid common pitfalls?
So I wouldn't go to drinks because there's just a lot of movement and cost and weight associated with this. And so we are in the upper... We're in the upper expensive section, which works for us because we know the space, we know how to do this. But I would start, if you're still going to stay in the space, I would start in the gummy space. I would start in the smaller packageable space because that shipping and price points are a lot more conducive to a scale. That A, for one, I would start there on the product side of things. Two, multiple pages with creators. I would lead with a ton of content specifically around the women. And then if there is... The guys usually tend to do like the 10 milligram, the 20 milligram, like the doses that are going to fuck you up. And so that's those are super power users, but they're not a ton of them. And so we want the everyday take it a little bit here, a little bit there, which usually is on the female side of things based on the data we currently have. So I would say product as light as possible, secondary, running from a lot of the creators on a specifically TikTok, because you can kind of whitelist and white label through them. Keep that same exact strategy and go to Meta, because we're getting more scale and less page restrictions or issues happening on the doc, on Meta itself, if we don't have it running from our Facebook page. So I would start there for one. Second, five reasons why this will change your life. Five reasons why people are switching to this. Five reasons why life is better. And a lot of these feelings of like getting rid of one vice, because technically we're replacing vices. And so getting rid of for a lesser, I guess it's like switching to a lesser evil is like a better way of framing this. And so convincing someone to jump into this kind of side of things is working. And we do believe that this is going to be kind of like the 2024, 2025 huge push.
Wow. Well, looking forward to see what's next. And indeed, talking about what's next, let's say, and talking about emerging trends, what do you foresee in performance marketing within the regulated industry, but also not? What do you foresee as emerging trends? And how should marketers prepare to adapt to these upcoming changes?
I think you have to run subscription-specific flows and funnels, because it's basically the same rebuild flow that I think people can lean into. It's going to work. We know it's working on a gummy side, on a drink side of things. There's a space around powders that I believe you can do a lot of improvement of additives toward coffee or additives towards tea. I think these mixtures of packets is an interesting space to play within. But in terms of trends on the .com, I don't think it's going to get harder. I think it's going to be easier and easier, especially like platforms like Twitter, X, where they're like openly saying, hey, we want cannabis, we want hemp derived, we want THC. They really do want to kind of play ball. There's rules and regulations around this, so we'll be spending more time there. And then on the Meta side of things, there's compliance rules for you to follow along, and there's ways to communicate and submit approvals. That is something that's very different. There wasn't any of this stuff before. There was no way that you could do it. You were kind of just alone and trying to like never get caught. But this, there's actual documentation for us to follow. And so I think that's a huge step forward since 2018. And so I do believe over time, especially as more of this is more mainstream and people understand what CBD does or THC does, that there'll be a bigger discussion around it. So I think where we stand sitting in 2024, it's sitting essentially end of Q1. If we have this conversation next year and I give you the updates of what's happening, we should be five times the size with multiple products around different functionality.
Okay. And where do you foresee that this is gonna be possible also outside of the US? I mean, I know it's beyond you and there is politics and stuff, but what's from what you know, since you probably read and know a lot about this?
I actually believe Spain will be first, Netherlands will be second. I thought Netherlands would be a little bit first because of the culture they are to the marijuana industry. But we've seen a lot more movement towards like regularity or just like kind of like disbursement of the product in Spain specifically. It could be because of how much revenue that they know they can drive from it. It could be like an economic drive around it too. But these areas are most likely going to be first, and then moving towards the United Kingdom will be after that.
Okay. Wow. Nick, thanks again for being with us today. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to tell our listeners.
No, just keep listening in. This is a super interesting space. And the more we talk about it, especially as it builds in the abroad space in these coming years, you guys will probably be advertising against me on it. So I look forward to it.
We'll see. We'll see about that. But for now, thanks again. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in on another episode of CC Talks. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to CC Talks on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow Creative Clicks on social media to stay updated with our latest news and insights. Till next time.